you this morning, the title of my message is, I'm good. I'm good. Have you ever had somebody, when you wanted them to do something for you, or you had a little adventure you wanted to take place with family or friends, and you're like, let's go do this, and then they respond, I'm good. I'm good. A lot of times, I'm good means no. I'm not going to do it. And then sometimes, we say we're good, and we may not be that good. So, it's interesting. So, I want to talk to you about I'm good. If you have your Bibles, the story of Mary in Luke chapter 2, verse 28. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And then it says, Mary was greatly troubled. Well, wouldn't you be too if the angel came to your house? There might be a little. So he said, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Everybody say forever. I just love that word. Like forever. Like through the COVID and everything. Forever. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. That's why we just keep going, right? And the angel answered, and then Mary asked, she said, how will this be? Good question. Mary asked, and since I'm a virgin, she said, and the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Let just that soak in you. For a minute. No word from God. Other people's words, other words might fail, but not God's. Said, no word from God will ever fail. And Mary said, I'm good. No. Wouldn't that have been something, though, if she would have said that? If she, oh, man, I wish I could. I'm really honored that you would ask me, but you know, I got a lot of things. I'm a little stressed now. I've got a lot going on, and I'm just kind of busy, so I know there's other ladies that's probably just as good as I am that could do just as good a job. I've just got a lot going on in my life right now. I'm good. Aren't you glad? She didn't say, I'm good. Here's what she said. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Hey, don't forget that. She said, I am the Lord's servant. A lot of times we try to elevate Mary beyond where she would really want to be elevated. Mary was the Lord's servant. She came to serve as an example for us to come to serve. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. In other words, hey, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I want to be your servant. And God, I'm here no matter what you ask me to do, where you ask me to go, how you choose to use me, I'm available. Is It's interesting because if a lot of times we ask people if they want to participate in something, they say, I'm good. Or we say, would you like to try my new recipe? It's guacamole crab dip. I'm good. You see, the full picture and the message of the birth of Jesus will continue to be revealed to you throughout your lifetime should you choose to embrace the message and the truth of the Word of God. God will challenge us with His Word. She simply made herself available. There's a lot of illustrations in the Word of God about being faithful to God and a lot of illustrations about people who were not willing to give of themselves. And then there's illustrations of those who would give some, but not all. One of the great illustrations that I liked in it is the parable of the rich young ruler. And it's interesting because the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And when he comes to Jesus, he says, and this is part of the kingdom of God. This is part of what Jesus came to do when he was born on this earth. Is to help people find a relationship with their creator. And so he comes, he says, what? He said, no, first of all, he said this. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He called him a good teacher. And Jesus comes back with this. He says, why do you call me good? It's like, and Jesus was so cool, right? I mean, he had all the answers at the right time in the right way. Because like, if someone would come up to me or come up to you, and they would say, what must I do to get to heaven, to inherit the kingdom of God? We would say, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Christ as your personal Savior. Admit, it's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus is God, and confess your sins. That's not what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. Why did he not say it? It was because the rich young ruler had an agenda, because he started out with good teacher. What he really wanted to do was to bring himself up on the same level with Jesus, because he said he was a good man. When Jesus asked him, he says, about the commandments, have you fulfilled all the commandments? He says, I fulfilled all the commandments from the day I was born. I'm a good man. And then Jesus comes along and he says this after that. He says, go and sell all you have and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me, and the poor rich man said, I'm good. He settled for less because Jesus saw in his heart that there was a problem. It wasn't a problem with his wealth. It was a problem in his heart. Make no mistake. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And when God saw the rich young ruler's heart, he saw a flawed heart, because he had cherry-picked things in the kingdom of God that would fit him. And what Jesus asked him to do didn't fit into his program. So he said, I'm good. So there was a king, and he had a servant that he was a personal servant. And the king, everywhere the king went, the personal servant went with him. And the personal servant, he was, you might say, very positive about life, very positive about everything. And everything that would happen, he was, the servant said, well, this is good. You know the scripture, right? In Romans chapter 8 says that, what does it say? Let me look at that. I forgot. It's in here somewhere. Oh, I forgot to tell you that the rich young ruler was chronically guilty of breaking three commandments. You know what that was. Jesus, like, he come across and he said, if you can fulfill these two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the rich young ruler didn't love God enough to commit the things that he had to him. And he didn't love people enough to give to the poor. And he had another God before him, which was his wealth. Romans 8:28. We know, everybody say we know. What do we know? We know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That God works all things according to his good to those who are called according to his purpose. So this servant, everything that the king happened with the king, he continues it. This is good. This is good. Well, they were out shooting. They were out hunting. And the servant loaded the gun for the king. And when the king shot the gun backfired and blew his thumb off. And the servant says, oh my, let me see that. And he looked at the king's thumb and he said, this is good. And it made the king mad and he threw him in jail. 3 years later, the king's out hunting again, and this is in Africa, and the cannibals capture the king, and they tie him up, and they tie him to a post, and they put the wood around the fire, and they're going to burn him, and they're going to eat him. That's what cannibals do, you know. And they were just getting ready to light the fire, and one of the cannibals saw that his thumb was missing. And they very, very superstitious. And they won't eat anything that's not whole. And when the king's thumb was missing, they were superstitious. Oh, no, we got to turn him loose. They turned the king loose because he didn't have a thumb. Well, on the way back to the palace, the king thought about the servant that he had locked up. And he thought about the words that the servant said when the servant said, this is good. And he's like, it saved my life. And he felt real bad, so he went back to the servant, and he apologized to the servant. He says, I'm so sorry. He says, actually, not having my thumb actually saved my life. He said, and I'm so sorry that I've locked you in prison for these 3 years. And the servant says, oh, please don't be sorry. He said, this is good. And the king's like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, he said, if I would have been with you, because you locked me in prison, I wasn't with you, and I am whole. The good things, all things work together. And here's the point. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good. Please make the distinction there. There's a lot of bad things that happen in this world. But if we belong to God, to those who are loved and those who are called according to his purpose, all things, everybody say all things, work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So everybody knows it. Knows me, they know that I love coffee. I just like it. I like it. And so I thought this would be a great illustration of what I'm trying to get across to you. And these different ingredients are important. So if you want to have a good cup of coffee, you kind of have to go through the motions. And sometimes that one works. And it takes time. And so what you have to do, you have to get some beans. And you have to grind those beans up. So you put them in there, and you grind them up. Now, listen. Some people, it's like church. Some people don't think that you need to do everything that God's asked you to do. And you don't need all of the things in the Bible, but you need some things. So some people, they are like, well, God, you know, there's a lot of things that I love about your word. And I'm just think that your word is so right. But you know that deal about going to church. You know, like maybe a couple, 3 times a month, once a month, maybe once or twice a year. I don't know. But other than that, I'm good. So what we do, we say, you know what, God? That going to church, I mean, that grinding offends me. And the music's just a little bit too, I mean, the grinding's a little too loud. And I get a little fit. So I'm just going to eat my beans without grinding them. Yeah, it's terrible. Well, that's even worse. Anybody ever been around church people that messed you around and you're like, you need to grind your beans? That's miserable. So what we do, we grind our beans and we embrace this process. Then we got to get our, you know what? Everybody needs a filter. And I need a drink of water. You know that bitterness, it just stays in your mouth. You can't get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? It just won't. I'm serious. I need a drink of water. So what we do, we put the coffee filter in there, and we put it on the cup, and we put the beans. Oh, by the way, Oh, thank you, Jason. Some people get hung up on the packaging. And they're like, I don't know if I like this one or if I like this one. I think I'm going to go to this church because it has better packaging. The preacher doesn't wear his hat. And that offends me. So we have all these different things that we think is right, and we think it's the right deal. And so we're like, oh, man, I'm dripping. And then you drip water, and that offends some people. I'm sorry. Without grinding the beans, it's terrible. But we get hung up on a lot of different things. And some people, they're just interested in the superficial things. They don't really care what's on the inside. And they don't really. And God forbid that anybody would get ground up so that they could be palatable to somebody else. They're just superficial. But when the waves come and there's no foundation there, when the waves come, the storms of life come and things get tough, it's like, where are they at? You can't find them. You know why? They were just living by what's on the outside of the package. And they were eating. So for some people, whenever the preaching gets a little bit tough, And it really offends. You know why? We could grow this church as big as we wanted to. You know that, right? All we had to do is tell everybody they're cool and they're good and all kumbaya. And you could get so. But a lot of people don't really like the filter. But it offends them. So they isn't it funny what people will chew and what they'll eat? You ever see them little birds in the nest? They're just like, and the mama put something, they will, don't ask me how I know this, but they will eat anything you put in their mouth. You with me? So here's what's really challenging, I'll put it that way, for the churches, is that we have certain things that we say. I'll say this: religion has certain things that they say in order to accommodate people's flesh. For instance, there's a certain denomination that says, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can become. In other words, you can become a God. Oh, that sounds pretty good to me. Who wouldn't want to do that? But you see, that's the same lie that the devil told Adam and Eve in the garden. But they're like, ooh, I can be a God. Sounds good to me. Y'all with me? So that instead of using the filter for what it's intended for, they chew on it. So after we get all ground up, put that in there. And then we have, then there's people that say, oh, it's the water. It's that hot water. That's what makes the coffee. Everybody's got their little deal, don't they? Y'all looking holy on me out there. It's like Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are. He said, you need to go to church. And a lot of people, they're like, well, I serve God. Like I serve God. Like, you ever heard that old country song that says, me and Jesus got our own thing going? That's a stupid song. It's about the dumbest song I ever heard in my life. It ain't you and Jesus. All by yourself. And you ain't got your own thing going. If you do, you're out in left field. Because Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are. But there's a lot of people out in this world that go, I'm good. And then he has the audacity to ask for 10% of your income. Oh, who would... Just give me that filter back. Let me chew on a coffee bean. And then they're miserable. Did you know that the way to get miserable is not to be obedient to God? The way not to have peace is to not be obedient to God, not to know. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The worry to be miserable is not knowing the word of God and compromising it by adding to it and making, some people want to make saints out of people. And pray to saints when God says that we can have direct access to Jesus, that we don't have to go through a high priest. We can go directly to God, to the throne of God. God is not too busy. You don't have to go through anybody else to go to God. You can go directly to the throne of God and ask God for anything. It's not Mary. It's not the saints. It's Jesus. Why would we go to a man when we can go to God? But you see, what happens is the religions of works have to keep you tied into their religion through works so that they can have you locked up. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, have it more abundantly. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. Be not yoked together in the yoke of bondage, but be free in the freedom that God has for you, knowing and rightly dividing the word of truth. Not settling just for the coffee beans. Don't settle for the outside packaging. Don't just settle for the filters. Pour the water. Pour the water, Randy. Okay, I will. Ooh, it's got to be nice and hot, too. And then when everything comes together... When everything comes together and all of the ingredients are put together, what you have it takes a little time. But what you have is I don't know how good it is. I gotta have to. I just want to, this process of letting God make things, turn things into good. When we started the church, many of you may not know this, but when we first started it, the name of the church was Montgomery Cowboy Fellowship. And the reason I wanted to call it that is because, number one, I didn't want it to be a church. And number two, I didn't want to be a pastor. That might shock y'all. I thought you probably thought I was a good guy. I'm a work in progress, too. So Montgomery Cowboy Fellowship. And we had church on Monday nights. And because we had church on Monday nights, it was like it wasn't a real church. I was reasoning myself, because I didn't want it to be a church. I just wanted it to be a fellowship where people come together and just fellowship. So we're having Monday night services in all over the place, and then we start having Monday night church services in a tent down there, just as you walk in, just as you drive in, right there on the left. We had a big tent there, and people was coming, and the Lord spoke to my heart that we needed to start doing Sunday morning services, and about changing the name to Lone Star Cowboy Church. And I'm like, we do that, then it's going to be a real church, and I'm going to be a real pastor, and can we just do the bean thing? We don't want all of the ingredients. We just want some of them. And that wasn't what God had for us. Because when we were having the Monday night services, my response to God was, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. No. And we do that, do we not? With a lot of things, it's just like we have a will, and we, In the last service, I got I thought I had the grinder for the coffee beans, but it was a frother. And I pushed the button for it to grind, and it wouldn't grind. And everybody there on staff, and it was like, that's a frother, that's it, and a grinder. Well, I had expectations. I had expectations that a frother could grind. It ain't gonna happen. And I was just a little bit offended at that frother wouldn't grind. Things don't always turn out the way we think they should turn out. But whenever we embrace the process and we get all of the ingredients that God has for us here, and we become that person of God that He created us to be, amazing things happen. And more importantly than anything else, you have peace in your heart. Confidence in your God. You're not trying to add to the scripture about what you think. Well, I think. God's not waiting to hear what you think. I don't want to offend you, but he's not like, never thought of that. He's not like that. He's got it all figured out already. We can't be like the poor rich man and think, hey, I don't need you. I'm good. I don't need that. I'll do it the way I want to do it. I'll compromise and I'll say a little bit of sin is okay. And if we can do our pet sins, then we can still get to heaven. Let's make up a religion like that. How about that one? They're out there if you want to go to them. They're all over the place. You can find them easy. But the reason a lot of times that churches that preach the whole truth of the Word of God, the reason they're not filled overflowing is because people are offended at the truth. Thank God you showed up today because you made up your mind. You want to hear the truth. Whether it hurts or whether it doesn't hurt, you want to know the truth.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what I want. Because I know me. And I know I need the truth in me every day. I know that I need to get up and read my Bible. I know that I need to get down on my knees every day. I know that I need to pray. I need to pray in the Spirit. I know that I need all of the power of God in me that I can possibly get. And I don't want any time ever to say to God, I'm good. When He has a plan for my life, I want to say, God, here I am. I'm your servant. If you could use me in any way, in any shape, in any form, here I am. I'm here for you. You take my body, whatever you choose. It doesn't always make sense to me, but I'm here for you. And I can mess it up. And then God, in His grace and in His mercy, will come back and say, hey, son, come over here. We got to have a talk here. You got to quit eating them beans raw like that. That's not good for you. And sure, don't do it in front of the church. But I still love you. I love you like my son, and I got some good things for you. And it's not about us getting our way. It's about God getting His way. And you'll spend the rest of your life learning that. But I just challenge to embrace the process and the ingredients that God has for you, so that you can enjoy the fullness of who God is. And don't settle for one ingredient. Don't add to the Word of God and don't take away from it. Just let it all come together for you and it will be a blessing to you. Thank you, Lord, for your Word today. Thanks for loving us. God, we need you so bad. So many times we take off on our own thinking we got it all figured out. But we know, oh God, that you're so full of grace. You're so full of mercy. And in the difficult times, whenever we stray, that you lovingly, you find us and you bring correction to us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. The scripture says we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. The truth is that every individual that's ever walked the face of the earth except Jesus has sinned. Please get that in your heart and in your mind. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. But He did say that if we would confess our sins, that we're sinners, and accept Him as our personal Savior, that He would forgive us. This morning, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, maybe if you have and you really just haven't been living for Him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Slip your hand up high. Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. Slip your hand up high. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you. Yeah, back in the back. Yeah, we're going to put a Bible in your hand. Thank you. I appreciate you. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Bless your heart. Anybody else? Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. Don't let the devil win this battle with you. Back in the back. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. I'm proud of you. Bless your heart. Anybody else before we move on? Yeah, thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Amen. If you raised your hand, would you mind looking up at me? If you raised your hand, would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? If you raised your hand, come on up here and let me pray for you. I'll be honored. It's a good day. Yeah, back in the back. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on, baby. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We'll wait on you. It's a good day. I'm so proud of you, my friend. Bless you, buddy. Bless you. Bless your heart, girl. Look at you. Oh, I love you. It's a good day, isn't it?
It's an awesome day.
Bless you, buddy.
I bless you.
Come on. How are you? I'm proud of you. Bless you. So here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. Pretty simple. We got to believe. Starts right here. And then it winds up right here. We got to believe that he's alive. Like he's the only one. This is the reason Christianity is the one true religion. I always wondered about that. You know what I'm saying? What is it? What's a true religion? Well, Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead. He's the only one. I'm going to go with that one. Because he conquered death. So when we die, he's proven that he can conquer death. That's why we go with God. And so we believe that he's alive in our heart. It says we'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal death. And so this is like being born spiritually today. You with me? Okay, I want you to pray with me. I want you to confess with your mouth. But you got to believe in your heart. I'm going to help you pray. Y'all help us. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, to show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now that's good. Now looky here. Look here. Here's the important part. Another important part. That was real important. You're not going to be perfect now because you did that. You're not going to be perfect. But what you now have is the presence of God. He says, it says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That God lives inside of us. Now, he's not going to come in unless you invite him. And that's what we did just now. We invited him to come in. So from now on, when you have a problem, let God help you through the problem. And if you sin, run to God. This is important. Don't run from God. The problem is a lot of times when we sin, the devil brings shame on us and we want to run from God. That's the worst thing to do. Run to him. You with me? And you got to show up for church. We can't help you if you don't show up. You got to show up. It's part of the deal. I love y'all. Hey, go visit with these ladies for just a second, if you don't mind. Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Just stand with me, please. You know, it's a difficult thing to admit that you have followed to a point your own personal agenda. It's hard to admit that, isn't it? It's like, but don't we all kind of do that from time to time? I said, I don't know if you're listening or not. I said, don't we all do that from time to time? We kind of get our own thing going. And that's why it's important to put him first in the morning, get down on our knees and honor God and humble ourselves. If you can get down on your knees, you should. I said this. I said, if you can get down on your knees, you should. Amen. There's altars here at the church, but we need to have more altars at the house. Amen. We need to kneel down at the couch, kneel down at the bed. When you're having issues and problems in your life, there is a God that lives in you that wants to be a part of you and help you through your problem. Why wouldn't we get down on our knees? How many needs to get on your knees more? Raise your hand. You're with me. Oh, I love you. Let me pray for you. Let's raise both hands and surrender to God. Lord, you see our hands and we surrender to you, oh God. with our hands lifted up and with our mouth filled with praise, with hearts of thanksgiving, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for coming down. We thank you, Lord, for being our Savior, for being our Lord, for being our King, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that in the middle of the issues and the problems of life, we realize that good comes out of everything because we love you and we are called according to your purpose. Lord, please forgive us, and Holy Spirit, we give you permission to convict us of areas that we've allowed ourselves to be deceived in, and may we turn from the ways that are not your ways, oh God. May we enjoy the fullness of the ingredients of the Word of God, and may we not compromise anything in our lives that doesn't have anything to do with your purpose or your plan for our lives. And everybody that agreed with that said, amen. God bless y'all. We sure do love you. We got a prayer team if you need special prayer. God bless y'all.